Here too we dare to hope. This trust is not based at all upon an optimism or confidence, either in a universal order of reason or in a benevolent principle inherent to nature. It is based in God, who really is, who alone is efficacious in his action. It is based in this simple trust, that God is a God who acts and who everywhere prevails. If I'm right in my conclusions about the coming world, the Old Testament will take on a new significance. The Old Testament reveals the living God who smashes the mythical bonds of the earth, who casts down the powers and the pagan rulers of life. It shows us the man of faith who is obedient to the acts of God according to the terms of the covenant. These Old Testament truths will grow in meaning and import. The stronger the demonic powers, the more crucial will be that victory over the world, realized in freedom and through faith. It will be realized in the harmony between man's freedom, freely returned to God, from whose own creative freedom it was gained. This will make possible not only effective action, but even action itself. It is a strange thing that we should glimpse this holy way, this divine possibility, rising out of the very midst of universal power as it increases day by day. This free union of the human person with the absolute through unconditional freedom will enable the faithful to stand firm, God-centered, even though placeless and unprotected. It will enable man to enter into an immediate relationship with God, which will cut through all force and danger. It will permit him to remain a vital person within the mounting loneliness of the future, a loneliness experienced in the very midst of the masses and all their organizations. If we understand the eschatological text of Holy Writ correctly, trust and courage will totally form the character of the last age. The surrounding Christian culture and the traditions supported by it will lose their effectiveness. That loss will belong to the danger given by scandal, that danger of which it is said, quote, "It will, if possible, deceive even the elect," unquote. Matthew 24:24. Loneliness in faith will be terrible. Love will disappear from the face of the public world. Matthew 23:12. But the more precious will that love be, which flows from one lonely person to another, involving a courage of the heart born from the immediacy of the love of God, as it was made known in Christ. Perhaps man will come to experience this love anew, to taste the sovereignty of its origin, to know its independence of the world, to sense the mystery of its final why. Perhaps love will achieve an intimacy and harmony never known to this day. Perhaps it will gain what lies hidden in the key words of the providential message of Jesus, that things are transformed for the man who makes God's will for his kingdom his first concern. Matthew 6:33. These eschatological conditions will show themselves, it seems to me, in the religious temper of the future. With these words, I proclaim no facile apocalyptic. No man has the right to say that the end is here, for Christ himself has declared that only the Father knows the day and the hour. Matthew 24:36. If we speak here of the nearness of the end, we do not mean nearness in the sense of time, but nearness as it pertains to the essence of the end. For in essence, man's existence is now nearing an absolute decision. Each and every consequence of that decision bears within it the greatest potentiality and the most extreme danger.